Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve, and the show is Word for Word for Monday, September the 26th, 2016. Today we will be finishing up the book of Bamidbar in English. That is the book of Numbers. With chapters 35 and 36. And then for tomorrow, we will be going into Deuteronomy, which is Ele Debarim, which means these are the words. And it's been a wild ride with Numbers, a lot of action, and more to come. But we're going to wrap her up today, and it's been really, really good. I want to remind everybody that this week in 2016, sundown on the 27th to sundown on the 28th is Yom Kippur, which is the day of propitiation, not atonement. Kippur means to cover over, to propitiate. And we'll be getting into that on that day. I will do a special show for Yom Kippur. But let's get into chapter 35 here and get started. Now, verses 1 through 8 of chapter 35, you can reference the book of Joshua, chapter 21, verses 1 through 42. So, verse 1 of chapter 35. Spoke Yahweh to Moshe in the plains of Moab by the Yarden at Jericho, saying, that's the Jordan River at Jericho in English. Verse 2. Command the children of Israel that they give to the Lewiim, that's the Levites, from the inheritance of their possession, cities to dwell in, and pastures, 4054, around the cities you shall give the Lewiim. Because the Lewiim, the Levites had livestock. They just didn't have any real land possessions like the rest of the tribes. Yahweh was their inheritance. But they still had to have some place to hang their hat. So this is what Yahweh is designating for the rest of the Israelites to do for his priest class and the rest of the Lewiim that served the tabernacle. Verse 3, it shall be that the cities that they dwell in and the pastures shall be for their beasts, their livestock, and for their flocks, 7399, and all their living creatures, 2416. And the pastures of the cities that you give the Lewiim shall reach from the wall, 7023, of the city outwards, 2351, 1,000 cubits all around. That's 1,500 feet. Verse 5, and you shall measure, 4058, from outside the city on the east side, 6924, and 6285, 2,000 cubits. And on the south side, 5045, 2,000 cubits. And on the north side, 2,000 cubits. And the city shall be in the midst. This shall be to them the pastures of the cities. And among the cities that you give the Lewium shall be six cities for refuge. 4733, which you shall give for the manslayer. 7523. Now this is accidental death only, not deliberate murder. This is if somebody kills somebody by accident, so that he may flee there. 5127. And to them you shall give 42 cities. All the cities that you give the Lewium shall number 48 cities, those with their pastures. Okay. They were going to get 48 cities, and there were a bunch of cities that were cities of refuge for somebody that committed manslaughter. Say they were working and an axe head flew off, or they were doing, there was some kind of accidental death, or somebody hit somebody in the jaw and he fell and hit his head and killed him. He didn't intend to kill him, it was accidental. They were just fighting. Well, he wasn't a murderer, he was a manslayer. It was manslaughter. And they didn't want him put to death for that. Okay. Verse 8. And the cities that you shall give of the possession of the children of Israel, from many, 7227, you shall give many, 7235. But from few, 4592, you shall give few, 4591. Everyone shall give to the Lewium according to his inheritance, which he inherits. Now we're going to go into verse 9, and verse 9 through 28, you can reference Deuteronomy 19, verses 2 through 4, and the book of Joshua, chapter 20, verses 1 through 9. And spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have passed over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, that's the Jordan River, into the land of the Canaanites, then you shall make happen, 7136, cities to be cities of refuge for you, so that the slayer may flee there, who kills any person unintentionally, 7684. Verse 12. And they shall be to you cities for refuge from the kinsman avenger, 1350, so that the manslayer does not die until he stands before the congregation for judgment. They're going to decide whether it's accidental or not. Verse 13, and of these cities which you shall give, six cities you shall have for refuge. You shall give three cities on this side of the Jordan, and three cities you shall give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities for refuge. 15, for the children of Israel and for the sojourner, 1616, that's Ger, that dwells, 8453, among them, shall be these six cities as asylum, 4733, to flee there all that smite, 5221, That's to smite to death. That's what that particular word always, usually, I can't say always, but usually means to smite to death. That smite a person unintentionally. But if he smites him with an instrument, 3627, of iron, 1270. Now, 3627 can mean a weapon as well. So that he dies, he is a murderer. 7523, the murderer shall surely be put to death. Because he hit him with a weapon, and that was intentionally killing him. If he just punched him and he fell and hit his head on a rock, that's not intentional. Verse 17, and if he smites him with a stone by his hand that he may die, and he dies, he is a murderer and shall surely be put to death, the murderer. That's intentional. Verse 18, or if with an instrument of wood in his hand he smites him that he may die, and he dies, he is a murderer and shall surely be put to death, the murderer. All these are intentional. If you beat his head in with a club, you intend to kill him. You're using a club on the guy. You're trying to bash his head in. I mean, you know, there's a line there, but it's not invisible. Verse 19, the kinsman avenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meets him, he shall slay him. The family took care of it. Somebody breaks in your home and shoots your wife. You're supposed to kill the guy. It's up to you. That's your wife. You have the right to take his life, according to Yahweh's laws. Now, our liberal, touchy-feely, warm and fuzzy, modern man-made laws, oh, he's disadvantaged, or he's this, or wah, 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 whine, whine, whine. Two wrongs don't make a right. You can't kill him because it's evil, and all this. No. No. Murderers need to be put to death. No repeat offender, no gigantic bill for housing them in prison. They die. And the family member, the closest family member, or the one that is assigned to take care of it, should kill them. Verse 20. And if he shoves him violently, that's one word, 1920, from hatred, 8135, or cast, 7993, an object upon him by laying in wait, that's one word, 6660, so that he dies, or in enmity, 342, smites him with his hand, so he will die, surely put to death he that smote him, he is a murderer. The kinsman avenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meets him. Now here's a differentiation here. Verse 22. But if he shoves him suddenly, 6621, without enmity, or cast an object upon him without lying in wait, they're arguing and the argument gets heated and the guy pushes him, or throw something at him. You've seen that happen. Somebody throws a beer mug at somebody in a bar. Or with a stone by which a man may die, not seeing him, and it falls upon him that he dies, and was not his hated enemy, neither sought, 1245, he his harm, 7451. In other words, you're building a wall, and you've got stones that you're building a wall with, and one just doesn't suit you, and you just pitch it over your shoulder, and there's somebody standing in back of you that you don't know, and it hits him in the head and kills him. You didn't mean to kill that guy. Verse 24. Then the congregation shall judge 8199 between the smiter 5221 and the kinsman avenger of blood according to these judgments. 4941. And the congregation shall take the slayer from the hand of the kinsman avenger of blood, and the congregation shall return him to his city of refuge from where he had fled, and he shall live in it until the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. Verse 26. But if the slayer shall at any time go forth outside the border of the city of his refuge to which he has fled, and verse 25, I made a little, it should to where he had fled. Yeah, not from, to. That was a typo on my part. My bad, I'm sorry. City, and go back to verse 26, to which he has fled. Verse 27, and the kinsman of men, avenger of blood, finds him outside of the borders of the city of his refuge, and the kinsman avenger of blood slays the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood debt. I mean, the guy was told, you stay here and you're safe. And he goes outside there and the other guy catches him and kills him. That's on him. Verse 28, because he should have remained in the city of refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return to the land of his possession. And the other guy now can't kill him. His sentence of being confined in the city of refuge, he can go back to his own land. That's over. So there are rules about that. Verse 29. So these things shall be a statute, 2708, of judgment to you throughout your posterity, 1755, that's generations, in all your dwelling places, 4186, in other words, wherever Israel was going to be living. Verse 30. Whoever smites to death any person by the mouth of witnesses, 5707, shall be slain the slayer. But one witness shall not answer for a person's death. You have to have multiple witnesses. One guy just can't say, oh, he murdered him. Well, he may have something against the guy. He could be lying. And verse 30, you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 6, and chapter 19, verse 15. Verse 31, you shall take no ransom, 3724, for the life, 5315, or the person, of the murderer, which is guilty, 7563, of a death. For he shall surely be put to death. In other words, he can't buy his way out of it. He murdered, therefore he is to be put to death. Imagine how it would be today if we followed this. All these beasts that we've got locked up that are just killers and robbers. If you kill somebody during a robbery, that's murder. That's not accidental. You walk into a liquor store to rob it, and you've got a gun, and you shoot that clerk because he doesn't move fast enough for you, and you kill a guy. That's murder. That's not some kind of third or fourth degree murder. That's murder. Murder is murder. If you deliberately kill somebody like that, you are to be put to death. We don't do that. We're not following Yahweh's laws. It would stop a lot of this stuff. We started executing these animals. Look at the stories recently with the people that set that old woman on fire and broke all the bones in her body, and she finally died. They need to be put to death. This little white girl, the little 10-year-old white girl that was raped and strangled and dismembered by some Mexican and his girlfriends, and the mom was present too, all of those people need to be put to death. All of them that were involved in that. Every one of them. What a horrific crime. Verse 32, "And you shall take no ransom for he that has fled to the city of his refuge, so that he might return to dwell in the land until the death of the high priest." You couldn't buy out of it. You were bound by these laws. These are the laws. Deal with it. And people are always trying to weasel out. You don't find somebody that has killed someone. You know, that's not a finable offense. A life has been taken. Praise Yahweh, soon the Redeemer will be back and we will be living by just laws. And we won't have this mankind's law that is so corrupt. So very, very corrupt. Verse 33. "So you shall not pollute 2610, the land where you are, because blood defiles 2610, the land. And the land cannot be cleansed, 3722, from the blood that is poured out, 8210, in it, except by the blood of he who poured it out." Innocent blood has polluted the land, made it unclean. And the only thing that can expiate that and clean it is the blood of the murderer. That has to be the cleansing. Whew. Can you imagine? They're just the murder rate would just drop within 30 days of being found guilty of murder. We execute these people instead of dragging this process out with years of appeals and keeping them on death row and all this nonsense. Take them out and cut their throat in public. Kneel them down on a platform, jerk their head back, and cut their throat. Bada bing, bada boom. Or hang him. Because he who is hanged upon a tree is cursed. Just do it publicly. No hood over the head. It needs to be as horrible as possible. Needs to be etched in the mind of the public that this is what happens when you murder. And there'll be some sick people that'll attend execution after execution. Yeah, we understand that. But it needs to be televised. It needs to be done publicly. And the message it will send, this is your fate when you do this. It will stop a lot of it. Won't stop all of it because we have some very sick people out there. beast of the earth, mostly. And we just need to make an example of them. Verse 34, therefore do not defile, 29:30, the land which you shall inhabit, in which I dwell, because I, Yahweh, dwell among the children of Israel. And that's the reason the land has to be kept clean. Because Yahweh dwells in the land. Same as he dwelled in the encampment when they were on the move. And that ends chapter 35. And here is chapter 36, which is a very short chapter. And this is the last chapter of the book of Numbers. Verse 1. Came near the head fathers of the clans of the sons of Gilead, 1568, son of Machir, 4353, son of Manasseh, of the clans of the children of Joseph, and spoke before Moshe and before the leaders of the heads of the fathers of the children of Israel. Now, verse 2 of chapter 36, you will reference Numbers chapter 27, verse 7. And they said, my Lord, 113, that's 113. That's a title of respect towards Moshe. My Lord was commanded by Yahweh to give the land for an inheritance by lot to the children of Israel. And my Lord was commanded by Yahweh to give the inheritance of Zelophehad, our kinsman, to his daughters. Verse 3, if they become to one of the sons of other tribes of the sons of Israel as wives, then shall be taken our inheritance from the inheritance of our forefathers, and shall be put with the inheritance of the tribe into which they are received. So it shall be taken from the lot of our inheritance. Verse 4, and when it is the Yobel, 3104, that's known as the Jubilee. It's a sounding of the ram's horn. When it is the Yobel of the children of Israel, then shall their inheritance be put into the inheritance of the tribe into which they are received. So shall their inheritance be taken away from the inheritance of the tribe of our forefathers. In other words, if they married outside the tribe, they were going to lose that portion. Verse 5. And commanded Moshe to the children of Israel by the mouth of Yahweh, saying, thus the tribe of the children of Joseph has spoken. This matter which commands Yahweh of the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, and this is what Yahweh said, to whom it is good in their eyes, let them be wives, but only to the clan of the tribe of their father shall there be wives. In other words, they can't marry outside their clan because the inheritance would go with them. Verse 7, and shall not move the inheritance of the children of Israel from tribe to tribe. Now, this is when they had fixed inheritance back in our original land before we were cast out into dispersion. Each of the sons of Israel had a territory. verse 7, and shall not move the inheritance of the children of Israel from tribe to tribe. For every man the inheritance of the tribe of his father he shall keep of the children of Israel. You cannot take from the tribe of Benjamin and give it to Gad. In other words, it has to remain within the possession of Benjamin. They have their inheritance by lot, dictated by Yahweh back then. Now we're scattered all over the place. Verse 8, and every daughter that possesses an inheritance in a tribe of the children of Israel to one of the clan of the tribe of her father, she shall be wife, so that shall possess the children of Israel, each man, the inheritance of his forefathers. Verse 9, and shall not move the inheritance from tribe to another tribe, but every man of his inheritance he shall keep of the tribes of the children of Israel. And that was what Yahweh said. You couldn't play fast and loose with that. That was a direct commandment. Verse 10. That which commanded Yahweh to Moshe, so did the daughters of Zelophehad, for became Machla, Tirzah, and Hogla, and Milcah, and Noah, daughters of Zelophehad, to the sons of their uncles, 1730, as wives. So they could have kids, pass on the bloodline of their father, pure-blooded Israelites. Verse 12, of the clans of the sons of Manasseh, son of Yosef, they became wives, and it was that their inheritance remained with the tribe of the clan of their forefathers. That's in obedience to the command of Yahweh. Oh, my chair popped back. Verse 13, and the end of the book of Numbers. These are the commandments and the judgments that commanded Yahweh by the hand of Moshe to the children of Israel in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho. That's the Jordan River at Jericho. That's the end of the book. We have received a number of laws in this book. Any of the sacrificial laws for blood sacrifice for the remission of sin, they're all fulfilled. Okay? But a lot of these laws are not concerning blood sacrifice, and they still stand. Now, churchianity today tries to say, oh, these are all passed away. They're nailed to the cross. They're this, they're that. Because they constrain the behavior for the people. Oh, they don't want to do this. They want to fit their lifestyle to the Bible and change the Bible so they can keep doing what they're doing. And they want to keep their pagan holidays and their man-made traditions. They want to bring homosexuals into the church. They want to have them as preachers. They want to have mixed race couples sitting in the congregation when we are commanded not to mix race. And we're going to be getting into the book of Deuteronomy. And at this point in time, I'm going to ask you to look up a specific verse in Deuteronomy. Bear with me here. I keep talking about mixed race congregations. And I'm going to give you a specific Strong's number to look up. I want you to look up in your Hebrew concordance 4464. And the verse I want you to read is in your King James Version, it is chapter 23, verse 2. In the Hebrew, it's verse 3. But I will give it to you. People just don't have Hebrew text out there. I understand this. You know, I do because I do the research and I read the Hebrew. So in King James, which is most familiar, and most of your other texts, they don't follow the Hebrew verse order. Okay? So look up Deuteronomy 23. Verse 2. And I will read it to you as it is in the Hebrew. And the word order is a little different. But you will be able to follow along. Here's what it says. In the Hebrew word order, how it's phrased. Shall not come a mamzer, that is M-A-M-Z-E-R. Now that is number 4464 in your Hebrew in the Strong's Concordance. Shall not come a mamzer into the congregation of Yahweh, even unto the generation of the tenth, shall not come into the congregation of Yahweh. Now you should have had that looked up by now. You can verify that I'm not shining you on. What is a mamzer? A mamzer is one of mixed race. It is a mixed breed or a mongrel. Now, they have tried to churchify it and water it down in a lot of dictionaries and say, oh, it's a person of a Hebrew father and a non-Hebrew mother. No. No, it is a person of mixed race. It is a mongrel person, a mulatto, whatever. It is a mixture of white and non-white in whatever degree. They were not allowed into the congregation ever, not even into the 10th generation. Because they were impure and they could not come in among pure blood Israelites and worship. This is absolute folly to do that because it fosters further race mixing and makes impure the holy seed line of the house of Israel. We are to be a set apart people. We saw in Numbers what Phinehas, Phinehas, Phinehas did when he stuck a javelin through an Israelite man and a non-Israelite Midianish woman. Midianite woman, because they had lapsed into Baal worship and they had mixed. And we were commanded not to breed with any outside of Israel. So the Midiani had disqualified themselves, even though Moses' father-in-law was of Midian. The rest of those people had gotten in with Moab and began worshiping Baal and Chemosh. Chemosh was the deity of Moab, and they worshiped Baal, Baal Peor. When Bileam took, went with Balak up to the top of Pisgah to the high places, and the high place up on Peor, 1116 high places, a place of pagan worship. And they did those sacrifices up there, which were absolutely useless because they were done on altars and in places of Baal worship. And of course they were not going to be recognized by Yahweh, by people that were not of Israel, of Moab. They still existed in the mountains there. They had been driven out of the land down below and lived in the mountains. Just a few. They were weak at that point. And they were worshiping Baal and Chemosh. Pagans. So Bileam, who was a sorcerer and a conjurer and a diviner, all pagan practices and forbidden by Yahweh, was told point blank by a messenger, you can call him an angel if you just have to, a messenger of Yahweh, which absolutely terrified him. He had a sword drawn. I said, I was going to kill you. I didn't say you could come unless they called you. They didn't call you, so you went anyway. Well, he was told, this is what you're going to say. And his response was, yes, sir. He didn't want to get stuck or chopped up. And he blessed Israel and just drove Balak crazy. Just couldn't, I hired you to curse these people. What are you doing? He says, I can only say what Yahweh tells me to say. I don't dare say anything else. Well, this sorcerer, conjurer, diviner, Bileam, not Balaam, Bileam, didn't do what Balak wanted. So he sent him off. Get out of here. Well, later on we see Bileam in with the Midianites doing the Baal worship thing again. Baal Peor. And when Israel attacked and destroyed the Midianites that had seduced, the women had physically seduced sexually the men of Israel, Bileam was in amongst them, and Israel killed him. He got killed. Because he was doing his dirty little deal with the Midianites, who were in apostasy and worshiping Baal. So he got his just due. And it all comes back to the old saying, what goes around comes around. And that applies to what's going on with us today, Israelites. The people that are subjugating us through their usury, and the beasts of the field that are killing our people at the behest of the usurers, the Edomites. All our men are being sent off to some foreign land to fight for some corporate profit, which goes in the pocket of the Edomites. And our men are dying. Our racial population has been reduced drastically over the past few years, and the number of white people has decreased exponentially through the deaths of the wars, abortions by white women. And I'm going to be real candid right here. When I was a young man and was not a Christian, didn't believe in anything but sex, drugs, and rock and roll, years and years ago, I got a girl pregnant. And I sent her off to New York, and I had my own child killed. And I didn't know. I didn't know the law. I didn't know Yahweh. I didn't believe in Yahshua. I didn't know. And I have grieved over that all these years. I have no children. But Yahweh has been merciful to me. And he has pulled me out and forgiven me through Yahshua Messiah of the heinous crime that I committed. So I can't point fingers at people and make out like I am blameless, because I am far from blameless. I am a sinner that has been saved from the destruction in the fires of the lake of fire by my kinsman redeemer Yahshua. Because I realized just exactly how much of a sinner I was. I cannot teach about this and not reveal my actions in the past. I am guilty. But that guilt has been lifted from upon me by Yahshua Messiah. And how well I know the mercies of Yahweh. And when I speak of sin, I speak as an expert because I have been so good at it in my former life. I don't do those things now. And I preach against them now. I preach against myself now. The man that I was is not the man that I am now. And that is only through the grace and love of Yahweh. if it were not for Yahweh and his gift to me and his calling of me, a sinner, to his service, my life would be absolutely worthless, as most people's lives are. I lived in the world, was of the world, did worldly things, thought only of myself. Abandoned the morality that my parents had taught me. Anything goes. And one day, the Holy Spirit got a hold of me and shook me to my very foundations. Scared the hell out of me, literally. Scared it out. And I called upon the name. And my life changed. It hasn't been easy. I'm not like Joel Osteen. Oh, if you do this, you're going to prosper, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do that. I was put through some real trials, and I deserved all of them. I was dead in sin except for Yeshua Messiah. A dead man. And Yahweh pulled me out of that. And you understand now, perhaps, why I praise him so much for what I have experienced and his mercy I have experienced. I'm not telling you fairy tales. I'm telling you what has happened in my life. My life. And the mercies I have received. I can't praise him enough. And I see this in the lives of other people as well, people that I have associated with in the Christian identity community that just hate and loathe their former life. As I hate and loathe my former life, I hate the man that I was with a passionate hatred. I was just no good. And the only thing good in me now is the word of Yahweh. And I have abandoned everything that I used to do. I want no part of it. No part of it. I don't want this world. I want the world to come. This world is worthless. It's polluted. The things of this world that everybody seems to have are traps. You only think you have to have all this stuff because of peer pressure. And people that are just as ignorant are touting what you must have. Oh, you got to have this, got to have that. No, you don't. Because you're not taking any of it with you. Not one single thing. It's worthless. It's hay and stubble. The only thing you take with you is your eternal spirit. And you got two choices there. You either follow Yahweh and his commandments, or you follow the leader of the world, and you will suffer the fate of the leader of the world. And that's why I teach, and that's why I preach, because I don't want my brothers and sisters to suffer that fate. I was redeemed by Yeshua's sacrifice as an Israelite. That sin was lifted off of me praise Yahweh for his love. And he will lift it off of you too, if you ask him, and if you are willing to give yourself to him completely and change your earthly lifestyle to match the scriptural lifestyle. And it can't be any other way. Yeah, the sacrifice was made by Yeshua, but the actions in your lifestyle have to be made by you. Repentance requires action on the part of the repenter. It says, "For he who calls upon the name of Yahweh shall be saved." And John 3:16 says, "For Yahweh so loved the world," and the world in the Greek means his order of arrangement, "for Yahweh so loved his order of arrangement as outlined in the scriptures that he gave his only begotten son, born of a virgin, so that whoever believes on him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." And if you really believe him, truthfully believe him, you will follow what he said. "If you love me, keep my commandments." And he also said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say?" Remember what Isaiah said, and this was quoted, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Yahweh wants your heart. He wants you to love him truthfully. He wants you to love him above everything else. Everything else, no exceptions. And if you do that, my brothers and sisters, he will bless you, he will save you, and he will remove the sins from upon you through that final covenant with Israel that Yeshua made on that stake at Calvary. That's his plan. You can do it in your closet, in private, but you have to live it. You have to live it and stop being the old man. Put the old man off completely. Come to Yahweh. I speak from experience on that. All I can do is give my testimony that I have been saved by the grace, the loving grace of Yahweh, through Yeshua the Messiah. And that's enough for today. I'm going to be starting in the book of Deuteronomy tomorrow. And then tomorrow evening at sundown begins Yom Kippur, the fast. You don't eat or drink anything for 24 hours, sundown to sundown. Sundown of the 27th to sundown of the 28th. And that is the day of propitiation, and the final propitiation was made by Yeshua Messiah at Calvary. Praise Yahweh, and may he bless and keep you. I will speak with you tomorrow. Shalom Aleichem.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war.